And Bobby heard himself telling her everything, starting with the day Ted had moved in and how his mother had taken an instant dislike to him. He told her about the first of Ted's blankouts, about the low men, about the signs of the low men. When he got to that part, Carol touched him on the arm. "What?" he asked. "You don't believe me?" His throat still had that achy, too-full feeling it got after a crying fit, but he was getting better. If she didn't believe him, he wouldn't be mad at her. Wouldn't blame her a bit, in fact. It was just an enormous relief to get it off his chest. "That's okay. I know how crazy it must. I've seen those funny hopscotches all over town," she said. "So has Yvonne and Angie. We talked about them. They have little stars and moons drawn next to them, sometimes comets, too." He gaped at her. "Are you kidding?" "No. Girls always look at hopscotches. I don't know why." "Close your mouth before a bug flies in." He closed his mouth. Carol nodded, satisfied, then took his hand in hers and laced her fingers through his. Bobby was amazed at what a perfect fit all those fingers made. "Now tell me the rest." He did, finishing with the amazing day he'd just put in, the movie The Trip to the Corner Pocket, how Alana had recognized his father in him, the close call on the way home. He tried to explain how the purple DeSoto hadn't seemed like a real car at all, that it only looked like a car. The closest he could come was to say it had felt alive somehow, like an evil version of the ostrich Dr. Doolittle sometimes wrote in that series of talking animal books they'd all gone crazy for in the second grade. The only thing Bobby didn't confess was where he'd hidden his thoughts when the cab passed the William Penn Grill and the backs of his eyes began to itch. He struggled, then blurted the worst as a coda. He was afraid that his mother going to Providence with Mr. Biderman and those other men had been a mistake, a bad mistake. "Do you think Mr. Biderman's sweet on her?" Carol asked. By then they were walking back to the bench where she had left her jump rope. Bobby picked it up and handed it to her. They began walking out of the park and toward Broad Street. "Yeah, maybe," Bobby said glumly. "Or at least..." And here was part of what he was afraid of. Although it had no name or real shape, it was like something ominous covered with a piece of canvas. "At least she thinks he is. Is he going to ask her to marry him? If he did, he'd be your stepdad." God! Bobby hadn't considered the idea of having Don Biderman as a stepfather, and he wished with all his might that Carol hadn't brought such a thing up. It was an awful thought. "If she loves him, you just better get used to the idea," Carol spoke in an older woman, worldly wise fashion that Bobby could have done without. He guessed she had already spent too much time this summer watching the old John O'Marsha shows on TV with her mom. And in a weird way, he wouldn't have cared if his mom loved Mr. Biderman, and that was all. It would be wretched, certainly, because Mr. Biderman was a creep. But it would have been understandable. More was going on, though. His mother's miserliness about money or cheapskatiness was a part of it, and so was whatever had made her start smoking again and caused her to cry in the night sometimes. The difference between his mother's Randall Garfield, the untrustworthy man who left the unpaid bills, and Alana's Randy Garfield, the nice guy who liked the jukebox turned up loud, even that might be a part of it. Had there really been unpaid bills? Had there really been a lapsed insurance policy? Why would his mother lie about such things? This was stuff he couldn't talk about to Carol. It wasn't reticence. It was that he didn't know how.